Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.
After some recent run-ins with crazed, violent leftists on college campuses, I decided to take it easy this semester with a trip to normal, moderate, amiable Utah. You might remember that last spring, the SUNY chancellor and board of trustees, as well as a number of New York State lawmakers, publicly denounced me before my talk at the University of Buffalo. Then, the University of Wisconsin-Madison administration tried desperately to shut down my recent talk at that school, to the point that Young America's Foundation and several legal institutes had to threaten to sue to defend the students' First Amendment rights. And in Pittsburgh, a group of Antifa militants burned me in effigy before two now indicted Antifa operatives threw an explosive at the building as I walked on stage. So I thought, you know what? Let's take it a little easy this semester. Let's go to Utah. The Mormons, after all, are pretty much the nicest people on earth. Utah is about the mildest, pleasantest state in the country. Let's do a speech there. But the libs, they just won't stop. Even in lovely Utah, as evidenced by a deranged lib assaulting some students who were hanging up flyers around the campus to publicize my talk there tonight.
Yeah.
So you can learn me better. Are you sad? Like, you don't have anything else to do with your time?
Why are you harassing us? Why are you harassing us? Why are you harassing us?
Who have killed themselves. Them seeing this in this city, you have no place. No place. God does not love people like you. You do not.
God loves everyone.
Spread hate. And guess
why are you harassing us?
You're a f***ing...
Why are you harassing us?
Utah. This isn't Berkeley. This isn't Chicago. Even at the University of Utah, the libs are screeching and screaming and harassing polite conservative students in their cars, which serves as an important reminder. There's no place for conservatives ultimately to retreat. The libs are on offense. They will not stop until they have conquered the whole culture, from sea to shining sea, and even through Utah. If conservatives want to protect our rights, our customs, and our way of life, we are going to have to confront the crazies. The only way out is through. I'm Michael Knowles. This is The Michael Knowles Show. Welcome back to the show. The Gaza war might be over. Might be over. We will get to that in just a moment. First, though, go to puretalk.com/Knowles. Thanks to Bidenflation, $20 barely gets you anything these days. You can't get a burger and fries for less than $20. How do you expect to fill up your gas tank? But do you know what $20 will get you? From my cell phone company, Pure Talk, I don't own the cell phone company. I own the phone and the service, but I don't like it. It's not my company. I'm just telling you, I just like the company. Because for $20 from Pure Talk, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data for just $20 a month. Pure Talk gives you the same quality of service as your current cell phone provider for half the cost. I want to make sure you heard that. Pure Talk is offering top-tier coverage on America's most dependable 5G network for half the cost of other carriers. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can switch to Pure Talk with the phone and phone number you currently use, or take advantage of their great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Making the switch is super easy. U.S.-based customer service team can help you join Pure Talk in as little as 10 minutes. Right now, go to puretalk.com/Knowles. Our listeners can get an additional 50% off their first month. And we can use a company that aligns with us on our beliefs. puretalk.com/Knowles, Canada View, L-E-S. The libs are on offense. One kind of silly example of them being on offense, they are trying to rename a federal prison after Donald Trump. This is their version of trolling. And they're not, the libs are not as, they sometimes have a couple winners, but they're generally not as good at trolling and memes and counterculture as the right is, because the libs control the establishment, because the libs control all the institutions. So they're not as good anymore at subverting those things. They used to be, they subverted all of the institutions in the West, but they've lost their touch a little bit. Now it's people on the right who are a little better. But in any case, this is probably the best trolling they've done in a while. This was just after Republicans proposed renaming Dulles Airport after Trump. Democrats countered by proposing renaming the Miami Federal Correctional Institution, which is the nearest prison to Mar-a-Lago. They suggested they rename that the Trump Federal Correctional Institution. This is supposed to own Trump. Tee-hee-hee, we got him. See, we indicted him a billion times. We're going to send him to prison for 700 years. He's going to die in an orange jumpsuit. Ha, ha, ha. We're going to name this after Trump. I think this probably was a bad move for the Democrats. Not that it will happen. It won't actually matter. But the reason I think this was a bad move is it underscores something that some of us have observed for a long time. Namely, the political conversation is all about Trump. It's just about Trump. Trump's supporters can't stop talking about him. Trump's enemies especially can't stop talking about him. Even the people in the middle who are apolitical, who don't want to talk about any of these politicians, even they talk about Trump. It's just all kind of about Trump. If the Democrats really wanted to needle Trump, if they really wanted to effectively get him, they would get him out of the conversation, but they can't. The man, as we should have expected, the man has been a celebrity for over 40 years now, major tabloid star, major network television star, major real estate mogul, guy who testifies before Congress. He's been a huge celeb for much longer than I've been alive. He's very good at attracting attention. And the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about in the minds, certainly of politicians. And so even as they try to attack him, they kind of end up memeing him into positions of authority and potentially into the Oval Office, which is largely what happened in 2016. So what does that mean for the 2024 race? There's one big bit of news that just came out of 2024, also somewhat expected, but it's official now. No Labels, the bipartisan political organization, the leading one in the country, is not going to run a candidate in 2024. There had been talk that No Labels, which was founded, I think, around 2012, they were going to run maybe a Joe Manchin. Maybe they were going to run a Mitt Romney. Maybe they were going to run a unifying candidate to get past all those nasty political labels that allow us to see clear distinctions between political parties and make an informed decision. We want to get past those labels, which allow us to precisely and accurately express our political vision for the country. We know we hate those dumb labels. We just want what? Who do we want? We want Joe Manchin. No, Joe Manchin was never going to win. So he declined to run on the No Labels ticket. Mitt Romney, we definitely don't want Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney lost right before No Labels got founded. He's less popular now than he's ever been. They're going to run Kyrsten Sinema? She's not even running for re-election to the Senate. It's over. The group reached out to some 30 potential candidates to try to run to take on Joe Biden, who's a very unpopular president, and Donald Trump, who is a relatively popular challenger, in as much as for the first time in about 100 years, we have a guy running for a non-consecutive second term for president. And no one wanted it. Of course, none of these people wanted to be the lamb to the slaughter. On top of that, U.S. Senator Joe Lieberman just died. Joe Lieberman was one of the moderate, centrist, kind of leading voices behind No Labels, Senator Lieberman. My former senator, briefly, in Connecticut, he died. Manchin said no. John Huntsman, a great former governor of Utah, he was asked about it. He apparently said no. Chris Christie, give me a break. He's not running. Larry Hogan over in Maryland, give me a break. None of them were going to make it. So there's just no appetite for this. The appetite for no labels is entirely restricted to fancy, wealthy Republicans in extremely blue areas and the Beltway and Washington, D.C. That's it. That's where the no labels appetite. It is nowhere really represented among any significant portion of the American voting public. So what about the director? The national director of no labels, this guy, Joe Cunningham, was asked, sir, it's now a two-man race. You're acknowledging you're not going to run a third party. So you want to get past the labels. You want to get past the duopoly. But like, come on, it's Biden versus Trump. Who are you going to vote for? Who would you guess that the national director of this squishy group would vote for?
Who are you going to vote for, Joe?
Who am I going to vote for? Well, yeah. Well, no labels itself is a C4 organization that doesn't advocate for or against political candidates. You know, we were merely securing ballot
you
access.
Two prominent on this role. Ones. You had two prominent. And maybe Robert F. Kennedy, but the choice among those for you as a person, what would you do?
Me as a person? I would vote for Biden over Trump. At the end of the day, pushing back against your respective political party is difficult in this duopoly. And the establishment does not reward dissent. And so we found it difficult to find the leaders to step up with the courage to be able to say, okay, we're putting our country first and, you know, damn the consequences within our respective parties.
Okay, wow. Just take those two statements right together. Try to let that percolate in your head, those two very contradictory statements. There's so much more to say. First, though, go to hillsdale.edu/Knowles. If you are a few years or even decades out of school and wondering, what did I even learn and what was the point? First of all, you're not alone, and it's not too late. Hillsdale College is offering more than 40 free online courses. Learn about the works of C.S. Lewis, the rise and fall of the Roman Republic, or the ancient church and its history with Hillsdale College's online courses. If you're not sure where to start, check out C.S. Lewis on Christianity. In this 7-lecture course, you will examine some of Lewis's classic works, including Mere Christianity, The Screwtape Letters, and The Abolition of Man. You'll also see what Lewis had to say about scripture, prayer, suffering, joy, heaven, and hell. The course is self-paced so that you can start whenever and wherever. Enroll in C.S. Lewis on Christianity to discover Lewis's core lessons on Christianity and how to apply faith to your life. Go to hillsdale.edu/Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, to enroll. There is no cost. It is easy to get started. That is hillsdale.edu/Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S. I totally love Hillsdale College. Go to hillsdale.edu/Knowles. The national director of No Labels, which tried to get, you know, Chris Christie or Larry Hogan to run for president. The national director says, oh yeah, between Biden and Trump, I'm definitely voting for Joe Biden. Joe Biden's way better than Donald Trump. But we need to fight the establishment. You know, this establishment's so bad. This establishment hates groups like No Labels. You are the most extra, super duper, uber establishment organization maybe ever founded in American politics. Are you kidding me? Every single person associated with your group is more establishment than the next. You just admitted you're voting for Joe Biden, a man who got elected to the Senate in 1972, who has never left Washington, D.C., who served as vice president. He leaves the Senate, serves as vice president for 8 years. He's in the wilderness for four. He becomes president at the age of 158. You're saying, this is my guy, Joe Biden. I am anti-establishment. I guess the word establishment needs to join the ranks of racism and sexism and all the rest of it as a totally meaningless word. What No Labels has always been about is just preserving the liberal status quo. So in this sense, I guess, it is its establishment bona fides are a little bit shaky right now because Donald Trump has been president for 4 years. Donald Trump really upset the establishment. He took over his party. The Republicans were furious over this. A lot of Republicans switched to become Democrats because Donald Trump took over the party. And ironically, it's because Donald Trump returned the party to pretty traditional Republican conservative positions. Rather than the bomb them all to hell, take over the world kind of global imperialism that dominated the GOP thinking in the early 2000s, Donald Trump wanted to return to some foreign policy restraint. Rather than open up every barrier to trade and let's have global free markets dominate all of our political decisions, Donald Trump wanted to return, not even all that far back, return to Ronald Reagan and certainly to the policies before Ronald Reagan, to a fiscal regime and a trade and tariff regime that prioritized the American worker and prioritized American products and manufacturing. That was a return. All these returns to normal Republican views, this irritated the, I guess you would call them the neocons, you know, the people, the new kind of conservatives that took over the GOP and made it virtually unrecognizable. So Trump, love him or hate him, I think you got to admit, this guy is pretty anti-establishment. The establishment's now throwing, 90 felony charges at him, trying to lock him up for 700 years. What No Labels has always been about is not being anti-establishment. It's about returning the establishment to its totally consolidated liberal political order and stature and power at a time when the establishment is very unpopular. And the reason they couldn't field a candidate is because all of their types of candidates, the Mitt Romney types, the establishment types, are very, very unpopular. And the proof of this is that the moment that they have to choose between one of the real candidates who's actually running, they pick a guy who has been around American politics since just after the Civil War, Joseph Robinette Biden. Now, turning to foreign affairs, major news. We don't know how real this is, but it's being reported by the Jerusalem Post. The IDF is ending the active ground invasion and completely withdrawing from southern Gaza. This story came out yesterday, and you know I hate to say I told you so. In this case, though, I guess it's good to say I told you so. It's good in as much as the war might wind down. And I think ultimately that's probably good for everyone. War can't go on forever. It's already going on for 6 months. But I did say I told you so here. I said, now, look, who knows? We don't know. There are some reports that actually they're only pulling some troops. There are some reports that this is a fake out, you know, kind of a false flag, and that actually Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israelis are going to go in even harder. Plenty of those kinds of tactics throughout the Old Testament. So it's been going on for a long time. However, as the reporting shows now, the IDF appears to be winding down the war. And why would that make sense? It would make sense for all the reasons that I have been stating for weeks now, which is that, and these are reasons that were backed up by one anonymous Israeli intelligence analyst, intelligence agent, and another on the record Israeli intelligence analyst, and a lot of people around the Israeli government, which is that the war can only continue if the United States supports Israel, because the United States funds about 6.5% of the Israeli military, and we're the protector of the state of Israel on the international stage, where pretty much the rest of the international community no longer likes Israel. So if the U.S. weakens in its support of Israel, Israel's going to be in a much weaker position vis-a-vis the war in Gaza. That has happened. Whether you think it's good, whether you think it's bad, whether you love Israel, whether you hate Israel, whether you don't think about Israel very much at all, it is simply a fact. Support for Israel remains high in the United States, but it has weakened. And support for this war in Gaza has weakened tremendously. Most Americans, according to recent surveys, oppose the continuation of the current war in Gaza. It's true among the Democrats, who seem to have a real problem with the state of Israel and who seem to really, really like the pro-Palestine liberation movement for some reason. But it's true among Republicans, too. It's weakened among Republicans, too. So that alone would seem to suggest that Israel cannot continue the war. On top of that, you have Israeli analysts saying that if the United States is not totally backing Israel here, then Israel is not going to be able to achieve its military objective of ousting Hamas as the government of Gaza. If Israel cannot reasonably expect to achieve that goal, then the justification for the war goes away. Because how do we arrive at justifications for war? Well, we threw a little thing called just war theory, which has all sorts of criteria on what constitutes a just war, one of them being the reasonable probability of success. So because of the first thing we were talking about, now we have no reasonable probability of success or very low reasonable probability of success. And then that leads into another aspect of just war theory, which is proportionality. Proportionality is often misunderstood to mean you kill one of my guys, I kill one of your guys. That's not what it means. Proportionality means avoiding excessive violence in pursuit of the aims of the war. You want to achieve the aims of the war with as little gratuitous violence as possible. But if you can't achieve your military objective, in this case, namely the ousting of Hamas in Gaza, then all that violence seems to be excessive. It seems to be gratuitous. So it's like a domino effect. And that is all, that is undeniably happening. Whether or not the Netanyahu government can just push through and even with the weakening support from America, still manage to achieve the military objective and then wind down the war in Israel's own terms, I guess that could happen. Whether this news is a fake out, I guess it could be a fake out. But Bibi Netanyahu is also facing a lot of pressure internally. There's a massive protest in Tel Aviv against the way he's conducted the war. So all these things taken together means that probably the war is winding down. Now, how did I predict that? Was it my Nostradamus crystal ball? Is it because I'm some genius expert on foreign policy? No, I'm not. I'm not any of those things. And I've hid my crystal ball underneath my desk and I did not consult it here. I think the reason that I and others, but not so many others in public life could predict this, is because I am relatively disinterested when it comes to the Israel-Palestine conflict. There are a lot of people who are just so obsessed with this conflict on the left and on the right. And you got the people on the left with the pro-Palestine, you know, marching in the streets in defense of Hamas or something, you know, trans for Hamas, whatever. There's some people on the fringes of the right who all of a sudden have decided to, you know, take up the cause of jihadis or something, kind of strange. And but then you've also got people on the pro-Israel side. They insist that this is the most important conflict for America ever, and we need to be totally focused in on the state of Israel. And I recognize it's a complex conflict, and, you know, I have a great deal of sympathy for the Israeli state. I also have a sympathy for the Palestinian Arabs and the longstanding conflict there. So I'm just kind of looking at it as a matter of what is happening and what that necessarily implies for the future. And it would seem to be that the writing is on the wall. There is so much more to say. First, though, go to genucel.com/Knowles. Gen 90 is the skincare breakthrough from Genucel that not only addresses those pesky bags and puffiness under your eyes, but does so instantly. No more worrying about the effects of sleepless nights, stress, or seasonal allergies on your appearance. Gen 90 is here to provide immediate relief. Gen 90 instantly reduces the appearance of looking older anywhere you use it, around the eyes, the forehead, crow's feet, laugh lines, and even the chin. You need to experience the luxury of Gen 90's technology. It is paraben-free, silky smooth. You will feel the instant tightening as it touches your skin, another testament to its effectiveness and your confidence in its results. Genucel has 400% customer loyalty compared to other skincare brands. There is a reason for that. Right now, you will not only get Genucel's classic under-eye bags and puffiness serum, but every Gen 90 order also includes their luxurious Genucel XV, a collagen builder moisturizer with vitamin C and hyaluronic acid in a pure natural base for stunning results day after day. Go to genucel.com/Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, right now for incredible packages, over 50% off during Genucel's spring sale. See your results or get your money back. Order right now, get a free limited edition spa box and bonus gifts and free shipping. Genucel.com/Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S. That is genucel.com/Knowles. Now, If one could not read the writing on the wall, the Biden administration made it very, very clear in recent days. John Kirby, who is the National Security Press Secretary, he came out and said that the United States would probably withdraw aid to Israel if Israel did not implement a ceasefire.
Just to go back to that point, In your readout, when you say the president made clear that the U.S. that U.S. policy with respect to Gaza will be determined by our assessment of Israel's immediate action, could you decode that for us? What exactly is the warning that's being issued here?
I think it's very clear in the language itself, Nancy. We're looking for concrete steps to alleviate humanitarian suffering in Gaza. Again, I won't get ahead of what the Israelis will or won't say or announce. We're looking for concrete steps to be announced here soon. And it's not just about the announcement of concrete steps and changes in their policies, but it's the execution of those announcements and those decisions and implementing them. And so we'll watch closely and monitor how they do on the commitments that they make. And as I said earlier, if there's no changes to their policy and their approaches, then there's going to have to be changes to ours.
Notice that they trot John Kirby out for this press conference. It's whenever there's any complexity, especially when you're talking about so volatile a conflict as the Israel-Palestine conflict, Karine Jean-Pierre is probably not going to cut it, okay? She is not, I don't want to be needlessly mean here. She is probably not the most sophisticated White House press secretary we've ever had. So they trot Kirby out to do that. The only reason Kirby hasn't replaced her, of course, is because she checks all of the intersectional boxes. So it would be a big bad news story for the left if they did do that. But he is being relatively clear. And at the very least, you want to look at the glass half full here. At the very least, the Biden administration's policy is becoming more coherent than the left-wing policy on Israel-Palestine has been in recent years. There are a lot of people who are going to be furious that the Biden administration is turning against Israel. But at the very least, I think we have to admit that this new policy is more coherent than the old one, which was fund Israel, fund Iran, fund both sides of the conflict, and antagonize both sides of the conflict too. And so we're giving them a ton of money. We're funding the whole war on and because obviously all of the Hamas funding and the Houthi funding and a lot of the other militant funding is coming from Iran. So we're going to give them billions of dollars, pallets of cash. We're going to bow down before the Iranians, and we're going to fund 6.5% of the Israeli military, and they're all going to go at it. And we're going to attack them with our rhetoric sometimes, but we're going to give them both of them, but we're going to give them a bunch of money. So now they're becoming a little more coherent. A lot of people are going to be disappointed that the Biden administration seems to be taking the side against Israel and pro-Palestine liberation and effectively pro-Iran. But in any case, we're really grading on a curve here. It is a really low bar that we've set for the Biden administration, but they've picked their side. They are now going to be anti-Israel. They're going to be pro, well, they already were pro-Iran because they give Iran a ton of money. Pro-Iran, pro-Palestine liberation. Secretary of State Antony Blinken drove this point home even more when he compared the state of Israel to Hamas.
Israel is not Hamas. Israel is a democracy. Hamas, a terrorist organization. And democracies place the highest value on human life, every human life. As has been said, whoever saves a life saves the entire world. That's our strength. It's what distinguishes us from terrorists like Hamas. If we lose that reverence for human life, we risk becoming indistinguishable from those we confront.
So you see, he starts out and he says, look, man, I'm not saying Israel and Hamas are the same thing. You know, they're obviously not the same thing. But, and then he has this quotation. He says, as has been said, and then he issues this quotation. And then he says, and therefore Israel's becoming kind of like Hamas. So that's why we're turning on Israel. Put aside the Israel-Hamas thing for a second. Do you know where that quote was from? As has been said. Usually when American politicians say, you know, as has been said, as we all know, as we hear, it's a quotation that we've all heard. Right? As we have all heard 47 years ago, as we've all heard, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. As we've all heard, you and I have a rendezvous with destiny. No, he's not quoting any American statesman. He's not quoting the Bible. As we've all heard, we're a shiny city on a hill. He's quoting the Quran. The American Secretary of State, now to inspire the people is quoting the Quran. Has there ever been a less confident civilization than our own? We no longer quote our own holy books, you know, like the Bible. Or the patristics, or the doctors of the church, or and certainly none of the, but not even the Bible. Oh, if we were to do that, then it would look like we don't have a separation between church and state, you know. Then we might seem like Christian nationalists. Oh no, then no, that would be a threat to secularism. We can't ever quote our own holy book that animated our whole civilization, especially this country. But we're going to quote the Quran. This is just like it's so pathetic. Every boomer and post-boomer, the millennials, even some of the zoomers, who they give up on the religion that actually formed their civilization, often the religion of their youth, but then they get really into like fake Buddhism or something. You know, say, yeah, man, yeah, I got this incense, man, at a hippie shop, and I do yoga before brunch, and I'm really spiritual, you know? But the people who are spiritual but not religious, you'll notice they're into every other kind of spirituality. Never mind for a moment that spiritual but not religious is a precise description of demons, where his religion is a habit of virtue that inclines the will to give to God what he deserves, and spiritual just means, you know, you're a spirit. So it's ironically a great description of demons, but they're not aware of this. And when they talk about it, I'm open to all religions, man, but they're never open to their own religion. They're never open to the true religion that coincidentally formed their own civilization. And now we have the U.S. Secretary of State quoting the Quran. Nothing against my Muslim friends. I have a great deal of respect for them, but good grief, man. Who are you appealing to? Ugh. Well, I'll tell you, I actually do know who they're appealing to. It's not just me who knows it. Seth Meyers, sort of a second or even third tier liberal late night host. He does one of the late shows on the networks. Seth Meyers just gave a warning to Joe Biden about a major weakness that he has going into 2024.
What do you mean you're hopeful? You're the most powerful man in the world, and you're talking about it like you're the manager of the New York Mets. I mean, I hope we win a few games, but, you know, if it keeps raining, we might not lose that many. You're the president. You can just say, no more funding, no more weapons. You call for a ceasefire. That's what a majority of Americans want, including the tens of thousands of Democrats who are registering protest votes in key battleground states. Thousands of Israelis also took to the streets this week to protest the Netanyahu government and call for a ceasefire deal to free the hostages. As we've said on the show before, there must be an immediate lasting ceasefire and the safe return of all hostages. That's the loud and clear message of these protest votes, and Biden must listen. Otherwise, he's at risk of losing to someone whose presidency was a
complete disaster.
Tee-hee-hee. That Trump, he's a disaster. But Biden, you got to watch out, because if you don't pull support from the State of Israel, you're going to lose. And Seth Meyers is totally right. He's totally right here. Again, I hate to say I told you so, but I've said from the beginning, the Israel-Palestine issue is a great wedge for the Democrats, because the Democrat establishment is totally pro-Israel. The Democrat base is totally pro-Palestine. It's just one of these issues. It's just one of these issues. The people in the street who go out waving the Palestine flag or screaming, you know, in defense of Hamas, trannies for Hamas or whatever, they are the base. They are the grassroots leftists out in the streets. They're not voting for Trump. They're not voting for no labels, Mitt Romney or Joe Manchin. They are leftists, okay? And Joe Biden is an establishment figure within the Democrat Party, and a lot of the donors and a lot of the, you know, $1,000 a plate dinner type Democrats, they're going to be much more pro-Israel. But Biden can't win with fundraisers. Biden needs votes as well. Even if you dig up all the dead people, you know, and even if you have all the widespread mail-ins, he still needs votes. If he loses his base, he's not going to win again. So for that reason as well, I don't think that Joe Biden has had a real ideological change of heart here on the Israel-Palestine conflict. I don't think he has a strong ideological view of anything. I don't think he's analyzed the criteria of just war. I think he just realizes this conflict is really, really bad for him. And so now, 6 months in, he's going to try to put an end to it. Speaking of Muslims, New York City is about to pay $17.5 million to Muslim women who are forced to remove their hijabs in mugshots. You understand, a mugshot is very difficult to take effectively if you can't see someone's face. So, and we're not, by the way, we're not talking about full burqas here. We're just talking about a hijab, you know, face scarf. These Muslim women were arrested for committing crimes, and then they go in and the New York PD says, okay, we need to take your picture now to know who you are. And they quote, wept and begged to be allowed to put their hijabs back on. The cops said, we need to take your picture. It's not going to work. And then one of these women sobbed as she stood with her back to the wall in view of approximately one dozen male NYPD officers and more than 30 male inmates, and had to have her mugshot taken for committing a crime. And now, of course, because I don't live in New York anymore, but New York's a very liberal place, and they're apparently going to pay out almost $18 million to women who had to take their headscarves off to get their mugshots taken after they committed crimes. Now, I am not totally unsympathetic to the Muslim women here. I mean, this seems insane, but it's not totally the Muslim women's fault. In fact, look, we're not talking about full burqa. We're not talking about even a niqab. We're talking about a little hijab. It's a nice, like, little headscarf. I go to church on Sunday. Almost all of the women have little headscarves on, too. It's called a mantilla. We actually had that in the Christian West until very, very recently as well. I think modesty is nice. I think it's good. I actually think the Muslims, they take it a little far in certain places, but modesty is a good thing. And these women obviously really wanted to remain modest. And that's a good thing. That instinct has been almost totally lost in the West. And I think the Muslims have a good instinct here. So what this really is about is not entitlement. It's not about the crazy Muslims or anything. Frankly, when it comes to the modesty of wearing a little headscarf or like going out, you know, totally nude in a like slut walk feminist parade, the Muslims are much more reasonable here than the Westerners are. What this is about is culture. This just once again shows you the lie that of the libs' notion that we can be a totally open society, open to everything. You can't be, because we in the West have this view that if you commit a crime, we need to be able to know who you are, take your picture. You're expected to dress a certain way. There are certain taboos and standards, and we're going to ask you to undress to this degree, but not to that degree. It's not like we strip prisoners totally naked or anything like that when we take their picture, but you're going to show us your face and this, that, and the other thing. And that set of cultural standards just is not what exists in the Muslim culture that is aggrieved here and that is suing New York City. It's just a different, and you can't just, cultures are different, and cultures are defined not by freedom versus tyranny, as the libs on the left and the right would have us believe, but they're just defined by standards and taboos and limits and things that you can say and things that you can't really say. Even on the notion that we just blow up all limits, the notion that this is somehow conservative, as right-wingers have argued in recent years, is totally absurd. It's ahistorical, it's anti-philosophical, and just in our own experience, it doesn't jibe with reality. People are going to be aggrieved by this, and they're going to sue, and the conclusions of those lawsuits might be absurd, $18 million for having to take off your headscarf to take a picture, but they're somewhat understandable. We just have different cultures and different expectations, and there was a time when we thought that we had the right to such things.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Now, it has been 2 years of fighting the left and building the future with great products over at Jeremy's. We're only getting started. Jeremy's second-gen razors are here. Same mission, new razors. These razors The first razor was good. A lot of people liked them. Obviously, we sold a ton of razors. These razors are about 10 billion times better. We're only improving. You'll notice a redesigned ergonomic handle for superior durability and improved coated stainless steel blades. For those of you who craft your masculine look with precision, we have Jeremy's new and improved Precision 5 razor with precision trimmer, allowing you to tailor your shave. It provides an exceptionally smooth and close shave. Now, if shaving is more of a chore, you just want to get it over and done with, the brand new Sprint 3 is for you. Open blade geometry allows for a quick, clean shave so you can get back to your manly activities as quickly as possible. Razors made right. Progress that isn't progressive. Head on over to jeremysrazors.com to upgrade to your new second-gen razor today. My favorite comment on Friday is from Devin Rossi, who says, as a man from the South, DEI only stands for Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. So true. So true. How is it? We've been debating DEI for years now. That's the first time that very salient point has ever been brought up. Speaking of cultural changes, Ford Motor Company is delaying the production of new electric vehicles because they're really dumb and nobody wants those stupid cars. We want gas cars because we're Americans. That's not in the news report, but that is obviously the reason. They announced this on Thursday. They're delaying the production of two new EVs. They will instead focus on making more hybrid vehicles as consumer demand for the electric vehicles. It not only doesn't grow, but it continues to plummet. The launch of at least two new big electric vehicles, like three-row electric vehicles, that will be delayed from 2025 all the way to 2027. It probably will be delayed even further than that. Why is this? Well, according to Ford Motor Company, quote, the additional time will allow for the consumer market for three-row EVs to further develop and enable Ford to take advantage of emerging battery technology. Yeah, maybe it will. Maybe it will. If that appetite further develops, it will be because the government even further incentivizes it. There is no natural demand for this. There's no organic demand. When the vacuum cleaner came out, the government didn't need to force a bunch of subsidies down Americans' throats and a bunch of PR campaigns demonizing, you know, brooms and mops, demonizing, you know, like scrub brushes and soap to get people to switch to the vacuum cleaner. The vacuum cleaner was a desirable innovation and people just gobbled it up. Not so with electric vehicles, because electric vehicles in many ways are worse than the products they're supposed to replace. I want to go on a road trip. I want to drive to Alaska right now. I could do it. I could just get in my car. I'd have to stop for gas a number of times. I'd have to go through America's Evil Top Hat, Canada. That would be unpleasant, but I could do it. I could just go. I can't go drive to Alaska in my electric vehicle without having to stop regularly every, what, 200 to 300 miles if I'm lucky, and then wait for half an hour or more while the thing fuels up on electricity at one of the rather few electric charging ports. It just wouldn't happen. And then I'd probably just break down somewhere in Canada and get eaten by a moose. That would not happen. People want the freedom of the open road. That's not only one of the sort of nice accidental aspects of having a car. That is part of the essence of automobile ownership. The freedom of the open road, that's gone. Then the cars are extremely expensive. That's with the federal subsidies. And they're just like kind of lame and they break. Even the really good one, the best version of this is Tesla, even though the Biden administration doesn't promote Tesla as much because they hate Elon Musk because Elon Musk isn't a total lib. And even Teslas, like, I don't want a Tesla. I don't know. Call me an old fuddy-duddy, but there's not a ton of appetite for it. Yuppies in the cities do like Teslas. They don't like any of the other electric vehicles. They do like Teslas. And even there, Tesla demand is declining. It's just not there. It's contrived. So this is a top-down phenomenon because the government, the political establishment, thinks it is better for them if we all drive electric vehicles. That's why they're spending a lot of our money to promote these things, and even that is not doing it. I'm not saying that they're not going to succeed at some point in making electric vehicles a thing. They might be able to do that because politics is not merely downstream of culture, but the law is a teacher and can dramatically shape culture. So it could happen. If they just keep it up long enough, it might happen. But as of right now, it's not there. Now, speaking of electrical wiring, apparently P. Diddy's compound was just absolutely wired for sound. Have you heard this story? I haven't talked about it too much, but I really have to get to it. P. Diddy, Puff Diggity Doodog, you know, the man, the rapper from the 90s and 2000s, who then got really rich. Sean Diddly Doodad Combs, he's got a bunch of products and stuff. Anyway, he's famous for something totally different now, which is apparently this guy would throw massive sex parties with drugs and booze and hookers and all sorts of stuff. And a lot of A-list celebrities there. Not just rappers, but movie stars, politicians, members of the royal family, apparently. And they'd all go to these parties. And what do you know? New reports out that these parties might have been a honey trap for blackmail, exploitation, extortion. Who knows who's behind it? But one thing we do hear from Puff Diddly Doodog's former bodyguard is there were cameras and microphones in every room.
I don't think it's only celebrities going to be shook. He had politicians in there. He had princes in there. He also had a couple of preachers in there.
You personally, you think they got tapes?
Well, my personal opinion that if Lil Rob could be trusted and his statements are true, they got them. They got tapes of stuff.
Now, if Diddy had tapes, the feds have them. That's a lot of blackmail.
There's Jesse Waters at the end who's pointing out, well, hold on. If Puff Daddy has the tapes, if the bodyguard is right, if the witness is right, then the bodyguard is right, then Puff Daddy has the tapes. But the feds just raided Puff Daddy's compounds. And one thing we know, when the feds raid your compound, they're not just looking for you. Very often, they're looking for the stuff that you got. Remember when the feds raided the Epstein compound and then all of Epstein's tapes just went missing? Remember, Jeffrey Epstein had cameras, microphones all over his house. He had all these celebrities and politicians and members of the royal family on tape doing weird sex stuff. And then the tapes went missing. We've never seen any of them. Almost as if the feds were not trying to prosecute people for committing crimes, but protect the people who were videotaped having committed the crimes. Well, here we might have the same thing. Some people are saying that P. Diddy is the new Jeffrey Epstein. And we don't know, was he videotaped? One, was he actually videotaping these people? It's just allegations now. Though, you know, with the federal raid and everything, and all these people around him saying it happened, it seems like there's pretty good evidence. Does he have the tapes? Do the feds have the tapes? Is he the new Jeffrey Epstein? Was he doing this of his own volition? Was he doing this at the behest of someone else? Was he doing this at the behest of, I don't know, an intelligence agency? Was he doing it at the behest of some private actor, some corporate actor? Who knows? I don't know. I actually don't know. Truly, it's just every new piece of evidence raises 20 more questions. One thing I do know, though, everyone's saying, ooh, these guys are going to go down. These politicians, these celebrities, they're going to go down. Because P. Diddy's the new Jeffrey Epstein. Guys, if P. Diddy is the new Jeffrey Epstein, then we know for sure that nobody who is on those tapes is ever going to be held accountable. The rest of the show continues now. You do not want to miss it. Become a member. Use code Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, at checkout for 2 months free on all annual plans.